So I figured am so grateful to be here with Pastor Andy and his wife Ling Ling. Hello. And also all of you, we greet you from City Church. Pastor Wendell Smith and Pastor Jenny Smith and all the staff there and members, we greet you as well. And thank you for inviting us. You know, I think we should invite the Holy Spirit right now to lead us in our message today. So let's just pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness and for your grace. And Father, we thank you for the Word that is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And we ask, O Holy Spirit, that your servant could be get out of the way today, and that you would teach us, O Holy Spirit, that I would simply be an instrument upon which you would use this day to speak your word. We thank you, Father, and we give you the honor, and we give you the glory this day. May you be lifted up, may you be exalted, in Jesus' name. Amen. When I was a child, I was always fascinated by big bulldozers, okay? Any kind of big equipment, steam shovels and all that earth-moving stuff. And I grew up in Bellevue quite a few years ago. In fact, my parents came to Bellevue when I was, Bellevue was 5,000 people. My father owned a shoe business in the old Bellevue Square for 27 years. And I became very familiar with this area, but there was a lot of building going on by our neighborhood. So as a child, I would always be out there watching them move the dirt and always fascinated with that. And I thought of the fact that when God talks in His Word about the fact that that's going to be so much easier that we can be in our life, in our faith, in our Christian walk, we can be mountain movers. And I came here today, as I always do, and every time I come together in corporate worship, I come with an attitude of expectancy. I come with an attitude that I desire God to do something great in my life. You know, I believe that we're never can remain the same. Either we're going backwards or we're going forwards. And I assume that all of you are here today for that one purpose. You're here to glorify God. You can't hear me? Can you hear me all right? You're here to glorify God, and you're also here to have God and to ask God to make changes in your life where they need to be made. Now, for some of us today, and maybe for all of us, there might be some kind of a mountain that God wants to move in your life today. And so I'd like for us to begin to read out of Mark, the 11th chapter. And I'm going to read to you this morning from a little different translation. Where did I put my glasses? They were right here. On here. Oh, I stuck them in my pocket. Excuse me. That was a senior moment. No. All right. Mark 11. And I'm going to read to you from the New Living Translation today, but if you can get there with me, and beginning in verse 22, Jesus said to the disciples, "Have faith in God. I assure you that you can say to this mountain, 'May God lift you up and throw you into the sea,' and your command will be obeyed. All that is required is that you really believe and do not doubt in your heart. Listen to me. You can pray for anything, and if you believe, you will have it. But when you are praying, first forgive anyone you are holding a grudge against, so that your Father in heaven will forgive your sins too. You know, there are some key words there that we need to key in on. And I don't know how many of you take notes. Any of you take notes? You know, I have found that what you write down, you remember a lot more. All right? My wife takes notes a lot, and I don't know, honey, where's your notebook today? You've heard this sermon one other time. No. Believe, that's, and receive. Can you say that with me? Believe and receive. Believe that what he says is going to happen and it will be granted to him. Verse 24, believe that you have received them and it will be granted you. Aren't you glad that God is pouring out his power? Amen? Now I want to get something straight here today. I've been over to Pastor Daniel's church a number of times now, and a couple times ago I threatened to bring a sign called that I would hold up and you could say amen. Okay, so it's all right to say amen in church, isn't it?
Amen.
To get a little excited. You know, I mean, I've been to baseball games, and we get excited at baseball games and football games, and I don't know what the Seahawks are doing today, but I'm sure that some 60,000 people are yelling their lungs out, okay? Well, we can get excited about the Lord, can't we? And about his word. You see, the problem isn't that God is not sending the power. The problem is that we are not receiving it, and we don't know how to receive it. John 16:24 says, until now you've asked for nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, so that your joy may be full. Believe, receive. I want to share with you today then how you can turn your faith loose. How much you think the word, speak the word, and live the word, and you are going to get your miracle. How many of you need God to do something in your life? Amen? Then I believe that this message will be very timely for us today. The first thing, and you have it up here with your notes, the first thing you're going to have to do is have faith thoughts. In other words, we have to begin to learn to think like God thinks. Mark the 5th chapter, in the 28th verse, it talks there about the woman with hemorrhage for some 12 years. And the Bible says that she thought to herself, if I can just touch his garments, I will get well. The English Bible translation says she thought to herself, in other words, she had those faith thoughts, if I can just touch Jesus, I am going to be healed. I am going to get my miracle. We need faith thoughts. He wants to fill you. He wants to fill your thoughts with his thoughts. It's not just about cleaning up your thought life. You know, we hear a lot of that, don't we? But you've got to fill what you've just cleaned up. You've got to fill it with God's thoughts. In other words, let's let God move into our brain. God never asks you to stop thinking negative. No, just replace it with God thoughts. God never told you to think about your sin. He wants you to think about his righteousness. In Ephesians, the third chapter, in the 21st verse, it says, "Now unto him who by that power at work within us is able," come on, "he is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, beyond all that we can ask or think, to him be glory in the church through Christ Jesus our Lord." In other words, we need to fill our thinking with his thinking. We need to plug our finances with God's thoughts. We need to plug our marriages, our job, our health, our ministry with God's thoughts and think the Word. Think the way he thinks. Think exceedingly. Think abundantly. It has been said, "Show me the way you think, and I will show you your future." Amen. Secondly, we need to have faith declarations. Faith declarations. Get the Bible in you. Let the Bible do your thinking for you. Jesus said these words, "Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds forth from the mouth of God." And in Psalm 119 in verse 1, it says, "How blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. How blessed are those who observe his testimonies. Seek him with all your heart." I like what Pastor Chris Pringle says. He says this, "The heart must be in harmony with the mouth, and the mouth with the heart." Let me run that by again. The heart must be in harmony with the mouth, and the mouth with the heart. Thirdly, we need faith thoughts that lead to faith declarations. My pastor, Pastor Wendell, said these things. He said, "Impressions lead to the womb of your miracle, but faith without declaration leads to abortion." In other words, we have to learn to speak it. We have to learn to speak the Word of God. Whatever you think, you will say, and whatever you say, you will create. The Bible says in Proverbs, "With our tongue we create life or death." Do you know where wrong thinking comes from? It comes from ungratefulness. Stop looking at what you don't have and start focusing on what you do have. You see, the Bible is going to change the way you think. And if you change the way you think, you will change the way you talk. And if you change the way you talk, you will change your life. My confession over my life is more powerful than the confession of others over my life. I can't put myself down unless I put myself down with my own words. My words are more powerful than other people's words. Psalm 139, I believe, says it all. It says this about you and about me. It says that you are fearfully and wonderfully, what? Made. And that is what God says about each one of us here today. People may have called you when you were a kid. You may have been called stupid or said you will never amount to anything. But what you say about yourself is more powerful. You have what you are what you say in God's Word. And God's Word says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Is it sickness? You speak, "The Lord is my healer. By his stripes I was healed." That's not "I am healed," that "I was healed." I was healed 2,000 years ago at the cross. Jesus took and He bore not only my sins, but He bore my sickness, didn't He? He bore my infirmities. Help, I need help. I discipline my body and I bring it under His subjection. I'm having financial problems. I go to the Word. My God shall supply all of my need according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. I'm struggling with bitterness. I will forgive my brother of his transgressions. I'm going through difficulties. The Bible says nothing is too difficult for Him. Nothing. With God, all things are possible. I may have strongholds in my life, and the Bible tells me over there in 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter and the 3rd verse, I have divine power that I can pull down all strongholds, and I can take every thought captive to the obedience of Jesus Christ. I may be going through grief, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for the Lord is with me. Can I just say this? We need to quit talking to God about how big our mountain is, but rather start speaking to your mountain about how big God is. I think we have it on the screen there. Psalm 30, verse 5 tells us, His favor is upon you. Did you get that? God's favor rests upon each of you. That He is a God of turnarounds. He is a God of new beginnings. And I don't have time today to tell you my testimony of what happened to me some 9-8 years ago and where God has taken me over these last 8 years. But I can tell you this. As it says in Psalm 40, where it says that as David cried out, David cried out, and the Bible says that God inclined to him. He heard David's cry, and He lifted him up out of his pit, out of that miry bog, and He put his feet upon a firm foundation, and He put a new song. Come on, a new song. A song of praise.
Hallelujah.
In his heart, in his mouth, in his lungs, in his whole being, that all may come and give glory to God. And that is our God, a God of turnaround, a God of change, a God of transformation. And this is what He wants to do in each of our lives, in the lives of your neighbors, the lives of your neighbors. You see, I don't believe that God does anything in your life and in my life that He doesn't want to then turn around and do it through you to others. Amen? You were put on this hill for a purpose. You weren't put here just to come to church and just to sit here and hear a good sermon from Pastor Andy every week and then just to go out there and do your own little thing, were you? But you were put on this hill to become disciples. Disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, to speak that love, to show that love of the Lord Jesus Christ to your neighbor, that your neighbor might begin to experience what you experience. You see, when you've been changed, when you've been given a wonderful treasure as you have, the gift of eternal life, you just want to share it with somebody else. You want to get excited about this. You want to have more passion to share your faith with somebody. And so you weren't put here just to come to church. The church, all this church is an equipping center for you to go out of these four walls. Because the church is really out there. This is just an equipping center.
Right.
Isn't that right?
Right?
I know all of you agree with me, right?
Right. Amen.
Amen. All right, praise God. That was just kind of a little sideline footnote. Holy Spirit wanted to bring that one out. Let me ask you a question today. And you don't have to answer this, okay? What do you say on a daily basis about your life? What do you say to others about your marriage? How many of you are married here? Okay. And someday, some of all these beautiful young ladies and good-looking guys are going to be married too. But what do you say to others? Men, what do you say to other men about your wife? Women, what do you say about your husband to other women? You see, by your words, you create an atmosphere of faith. 2 Corinthians 4:13 says, "And since we have this same spirit of faith according to what is written, if my confession is mute, then my faith is inactive." Many people say, "I need more faith." No, the Bible says you need to activate your faith. In other words, why don't you begin to prophesy to yourself, to your marriage, to your business, to your children, speaking the word of God over your children and over your marriage? Don't speak of your children in a bad way. Speak about, you know, I had somebody come to me not too long ago, and all they could do was tell me how bad their kids were. They're teenagers. You know, we have 6 kids, and I love every one of them, and the teenagers, I loved it when they were teenagers. That was the most exciting years for me as a dad. But begin to speak life into your kids. You know, faith, the Bible says, is the assurance of things hoped for, and it's a conviction in things unseen. Now, you may not see. You may have a teenager or a young person, a teenager that's not really walking in the Lord. Or they may be, you think, a bit rebellious. But stop thinking that. Stop speaking that. Start speaking what God's Word wants in their life. Start speaking as if they were a man or a young woman of God. How did God create the world? He spoke it into existence. You want to speak, see good things come in your children, you want to see good things come in your marriage, then stop complaining about your children. Stop complaining about your husband or your wife and start speaking life into them. Speak God's will. That's God's will. You're not speaking something that isn't God, but you're declaring what is God's will. There are 2 ingredients that create an atmosphere of faith. One is attitude, and that attitude is we are able, right, to do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And the second thing that creates an atmosphere of faith is the words you speak. You see, you have faith, but you're not getting results because you have to speak it and you have to keep speaking it. I was counseling with a man the other day, and he was telling me all about how bad his marriage is and about how his wife won't do this or she won't do that. And I said, "Listen," and he's been telling me this for quite a number of times. Call me up on the phone. Finally, I just said this. I said, "I'm tired of your belly aching. I'm tired of your speaking death into your marriage. Do you want help?" And he says, "Well, yes, I really do." Then listen carefully. I want to ask you to go to the Word of God, and I want to ask you to begin to write down on a 3x5 card all the scriptures that you would like to see happen in your marriage. All right. And all the things that you think God should do in your life as a husband. And then some of the things that you think that she should be as a wife. Okay? Husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church. Wives, you are to respect your husbands. And I said, now you write these down. And I said, since you're a truck driver, you take those 3x5 cards, and when every time you're at a stoplight in this city, you start repeating that. And if you have to say it 1,000 times every day of the week, I'm telling you, you're going to have to do it, but it will change you. And when you change, your life will change and your marriage will change. Do I hear an amen? We have to speak it. We have to think it, and then we have to say it. Believe it in our heart. Confess it with our lips. And then lastly, we need faith action. Act on what you hear. If God tells you to forget your past and stop bringing it up, stop blaming your parents and stop blaming everybody else and putting the blame on everybody else and take responsibility for your own sin, then do it. All right? I didn't hear very many amens on that one. If God tells you to tithe, we'll get off on tithing here, Pastor. But if God tells you to tithe your finances, that is 10%, you know, of the gross, not the net, then do it. If God tells you to hug more people, then act upon it. In other words, put faith, put action to your faith. As my pastor has said, impressions are the womb for miracles. Impressions without decoration lead to abortion. Impression without expression leads to depression. Did you get that? It leads to depression. No wonder we have a lot of Christians today that are running around depressed all the time because they aren't taking their faith and putting action to it. They're all, you know, into self. We say, well, maybe I'm too old, or I'm too tired, or I get depressed. So was Jeremiah. I'm a perfectionist. So was Jonah. I'm a chronic warrior. So was Martha. I'm limited. The only one who is handicapped is the devil. Listen to me. God is a supernatural God who wants to engage in everything that you and I do. And I'm turning my faith on. I'm not just going to have an impression, but I'm going to speak it, I'm going to declare it, and then I'm going to act upon it. And I have areas in my life that I want to turn my faith loose on. So we change our thinking to God's thoughts, faith thoughts. Then we declare it. Then we act upon it. We live it. Faith action is going to require obedience. Faith and obedience go hand in hand. Faith and obedience go hand in hand. And then finally, I don't think I... Maybe I didn't give you this. Is that up there? We love... We have love in our hearts. Verse 25. It talks there about unforgiveness and how we're to forgive. You've got unforgiveness in your heart. The Bible says, then get over it. Don't take up offenses. Love is a word of action. The world has been saying to the church, just don't talk about it. I'm sick of your words, but let me see your love. Would you agree? How did Jesus do it? Jesus said this, inasmuch as you have done it to the least of these, you have what? Done it unto me. Every time you give a drink of water, every time you give a loaf of bread, you are being an instrument of love. I like what the Message Bible says in John 4:35. It says, as you look around right now, wouldn't you say that in about 4 months it will be time to harvest? Well, I'm telling you to open your eyes and take a good look at what's right in front of you. These Samaritan fields are ripe. It's harvest time. Well, these fields on the Sammamish and the Issaquah Plateau are ripe. It is harvest time. Come on, it is harvest time. Isaiah 58, verse 6 and 7. Verse 6 says, is this not the fast that I've chosen? To loosen the bonds of wickedness, to undo the band of the yoke, to set the captive free, and break every yoke. Is it not to divide your bread with the hungry, and bring the homeless poor into the house? And when you see the naked, to clothe them, and not to deny yourself from your own flesh. Then it goes on to say, then your light will break out as the midday. Your healing will spring forth quickly. The glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. His righteousness, that means His peace and prosperity, will go before you. And when you cry out and call upon the Lord, He will hear you and He will answer you. And then He says, if you will put out of your midst that pointed finger and the speaking of wickedness. And then He goes on to say, if you will give yourself to the needy and meet the desires of the afflicted, then your light will rise in the darkness. And you will be like a stream of water. That becomes a well-watered garden that doesn't stop. And then you will be known as a repairer of the breach and a rebuilder of the waste places and a restorer of the streets of the Sammamish and this Issaquah Plateau. That is what is called love in action. I want to illustrate this as I bring this to a close here, and I need four people to come forward quickly. Four people.
We have some butter knife and butter.
Yeah, all right. We have the toaster and all? No. All right. Pastor, I'm going to have you be the one that's going to give out. Okay, and you're going to give out to this young lady first. And your name?
Sue.
Okay, and you're going to give out to her. Yes, and what he's doing is he's just giving to her. She has a need in her life. She has a need of food right now. And I'm going to believe that none of these young ladies are saved. They don't know Jesus yet. Okay? Just for a moment. We're going to pretend, okay? So you go ahead and give that out.
Now.
Now, no, that's all right. Now, what has just happened? As Pastor has given this bread out, this food, I'm talking physical food, Jesus said, if you divide your bread, he said, if you give a drink of water, didn't he? If you feed the hungry. What he's just done, he has just served Jesus. Inasmuch as you've done it unto the least of these, you've done it unto me. And I'm telling you, this hill is full of the least of these. And we say, well, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Maybe there's not a lot of poverty up here. Wait a minute. There is need. There is need. You don't have to have poverty to have need. You've got need in almost every other household on this hill of some kind. When Jesus says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. The word poor literally means something broken, something missing. There is something broken, something missing in every other household on this plateau. All right. So he gave it out. So the Bible says, some plant. Right? Remember that scripture? Some plant. So all he did right now is he just planted love through this loaf of bread. Okay. Now you take it back. Now I'm not trying to take and get you. We've got to pretend like, you know what we're doing here. Okay. All right. Now, you come along again, maybe about a week later, and you get to this lady. No, wait a minute. I've got this wrong. You're the non-believer. You just sold into her. Now you come along, and you're just on fire to help reach your neighbors for Christ, your students, the peers, and you come along and you give her a loaf of bread. Okay?
Again.
Mm-hmm. All right. Now what's just happened? Not only do some plant, but others water. Okay? So she's watered here with this bread, and what is happening is the Bible says, remember, it's the anointing that breaks the yoke. Is that right? And the anointing is the power of the Holy Spirit resident in our lives. Right? This young lady, just as pastor here, has the anointing. And by her giving out this loaf of bread, there is a releasing of God's anointing that is taking place through this seed of love. Now that anointing is not getting in her yet because she's not accepted Christ. But it's getting all over her. Love's getting all over her. And love, the anointing, is beginning to break down walls and barriers and thoughts that she may have had toward the church and toward Christ. Maybe she's thought all the church ever wants is your money. And you're going out as a church and you're giving the community something. Just the opposite. And the anointing is breaking that mindset. And she's beginning to build a bridge with this young lady. Now, this young lady comes along and you hand Sue a loaf of bread. Now, what's happened? Well, we've had the seed planted of love. We've had that anointing just starting to get all over her. Then we've had this young lady come by and water with this loaf of bread. And now this young lady gives this loaf of bread out. The anointing now has done what? Here comes harvest time! She gets saved!
Hallelujah.
Now, that's what the Bible says. Now, if we can do what the Bible says, you're going to fill up this whole church. You're going to fill every seat. Would that be your desire, to see your church grow? Would that be your desire to see this place filled? Would that be your desire to see this place filled twice and three times? Amen. Not to become just a big church, but because every soul on this plateau, in this region, needs to be saved. Because that is why you exist as a church. Hallelujah. You can keep the bread if you want. I don't know if you're going to want that, though. Well, there have been moments of discouragement, haven't there? I prayed about your church, Pastor. And I hear the word of the Lord saying, I've seen your diligence. I've seen the diligence and the faith of your pastor. I've seen your heart of compassion. And I've heard your cry for the plateau. I want you to be encouraged, for I have put before you an open door. And what I have opened, no man will shut. Many will come to your church. And you will be known as a gatherer of people. For when my people, who are called by my name, humble themselves, seek my face, I will heal them. I will heal them. I will bring great healing to this plateau. Only I ask that you not be dismayed, nor be afraid. For my river of healing and restoration will flow in this house. But like any door, you will need to walk through it with much faith and much love. And you'll become known as a church without walls. For you will be my instrument of love, for which I will use. I will use, saith the Lord, to begin to break down the walls of the churches of this plateau, to bring a great unity among the churches, my churches of this plateau, of which I have placed you. I will use you. I will use you, Bread of Life Christian Church. For I have not placed you on this hill for of no use, for I have placed you on this hill to become a bearer of my good news, to break the walls of the church down, and to go and to be what I have called you to be, my instruments, my people of love. Let us pray. Father, I thank you for Bread of Life Christian Church. And I thank you for each one, God, each one here. God, that you have brought into this pioneering church with that pioneering spirit, Father. And I thank you that there are people of faith, that there are people that speak faith and act upon, Father, that faith. And they have a life, they live a life of love. Father, I ask your blessing upon each one of them. And now with every head bowed, I'm going to ask you, if there are any here within the sound of my voice right now that you feel that God needs, or you want God You want God to just raise that level of faith that we were talking about in your life more. You want more of that faith that we spoke of. More of that faith that will move those mountains that you're talking about. I just want you to raise your hand right now for those of you that... I want to pray for you. I just want to pray for you. Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus for those right now that have raised their hand in the name of Jesus. Just keep your hand up. I thank you, Father, for your blessing, pouring out your blessing upon their life. I thank you, Lord, that it is your desire to bring them up, that we might grow from one degree of glory to another. And Lord, I pray that you will strengthen them now. Strengthen them and give them that boldness and that courage, God, to just speak your word, to speak it. I pray, Lord, that you will increase faith and increase, God, more love and more compassion, Lord God, in these young men, in Jesus' name. Oh, I thank you, Father. I pray that you move with power, you move with your might and your strength on these folks here, God. We thank you for them. We thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Father, for your goodness and your grace and your might and your strength. Lord, we bless them right now. I thank you, Father, for those in this place that need a miracle. They need a miracle in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Somebody right now, you need a healing. You need a healing in your life. Raise your hand. You need a healing. You know somebody that needs a healing right now. In Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for the word of God that says that you heal us of all of our diseases. Oh, I thank you for the blood of Jesus. And I plead the blood of Jesus over this woman right now. I thank you that you took her infirmity 2,000 years ago at the cross. In Jesus' name. And by your stripes, you are healed. In Jesus' name, and by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you for this one. In Jesus' name, we speak healing. We speak the anointing right now of healing into your body. In Jesus' name, and by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Be healed in Jesus' name. Anyone else? Anyone else? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. We thank you for these two right here in Jesus' name that have said, by faith, I raise my hand. And Father, we thank you right now. We base our healing upon your word that you heal. You heal all their diseases. You heal their infirmity in Jesus' name and by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, let your anointing flow. Let your anointing flow. Let it touch their body and heal in the name of Jesus. Be healed. Be strong. Be strengthened in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Be healed. Be healed, young man. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Father. We thank you for your word that assures us that you heal us. You heal us, God, of all our diseases. That we're to lay hands on the sick and they will rise and be healed. We thank you in the name of Jesus. We speak healing into your body in the name of Jesus right now. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We bless you, Lord. We bless you, mighty God. We bless you, Father. Thank you, Father, for this young man. Thank you, Lord God, again for his faith. And I thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name for your word that says that you heal all our diseases. And God, we know that it's all by your anointing. And your anointing that breaks the yoke. It's your anointing that breaks that yoke of infirmity over your body. In Jesus' name, be healed. Let the anointing just flow in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, by your stripes, Jesus, this young man is healed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. 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 I just wonder if there's anyone here in our midst right now. Anyone in our midst. You keep your heads bowed, would you please? This is a very holy moment. The Spirit of God is working. The Spirit of God is working. And I'm just wondering right now, somebody here needs a financial miracle. Somebody here needs a financial miracle. You raise your hand. You need a financial miracle. You need financial help right now. Somebody needs financial help. Just raise your hand. Raise your hand right here in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Father, that your word says, my God shall supply all your needs, all this young lady's needs, and according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. And by your anointing, Lord, we just ask that you will, we speak that miracle. We speak it right now into this woman's life in Jesus' name. Bring her a miracle in her finances, Lord. We bless her right now in Jesus' name and by the blood of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord. Keep your heads bowed. And I'm just wondering if there's anyone in our midst here today. You just feel like you came in here today and you've heard a message on faith. And you came in here and you realize that you need to get your life more right with God. More right with God. You need to get right with Him. Amen. I see your hand. Anybody else? I see your hand, sir. Anybody else? You need to get right with God here today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to pray for you right now in the name of Jesus. I thank you for this young lady right now. I thank you, Lord God, for a heart that has said, I want to get right. And Lord, I pray that you would bless her in the name of Jesus and by the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask both this young lady and this young man, I want to take your hand, and I want to ask all of you, keep your head bowed, but I want to ask all of you to repeat after me. We're going to repeat the sinner's prayer in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for Jesus. I thank you for the blood of Jesus. And I thank you that heaven is a free gift, that I cannot earn it. For it's by grace that I am saved, through faith, not by any works of my own. Now, dear Jesus, I just ask that you will come into my heart and be my Lord, my Savior. I give you all of my life. I give you every compartment of my heart. In the name of Jesus. And I ask, Holy Spirit, that you would fill me and control me, all to the glory of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God.